It's Earth Day this weekend, and the Iron Range Earth Fest is celebrating its 10th anniversary and is holding its annual conference at the Mountain Iron Community Center and other locations in Mountain Iron. The theme this year is Reclaiming Traditions for a Sustainable Future. It kicks off on Friday with the documentary Lost Iron Range. There will also be some hands-on cooking demonstrations. And Saturday is a full day of workshops, vendors, speakers, activities, and music. And this morning we're going to be talking with one of the workshop presenters, Kimberly Gierman. Kimberly teaches at the Mesabi Range College and is presenting Backyard Herbs, Food and Medicine at the Earth Fest. Good morning, Kimberly. Are you out there in Ray telephone land?
I am.
Okay.
Kimberly, there are flowers and there are vegetables. What makes a plant an herb?
Well, that kind of depends on who you ask. I'm a biologist, and as a biologist, an herb would be non-woody, so like not a tree, and it's the leafy part. As an herbologist, we get a little bit looser with it, and it's plants that we eat.
How did you get it? I know you're the go-to person for herbs. How did you get interested in this?
I've always been interested since I don't remember not being interested. I came from a family that gardened a lot, and I was not going to be like that. It was too much work. I was no intentions of being a gardener. But as I got older, of course I did it, but I made an exception so that I was different than the rest of my family. I don't grow anything that I can't eat.
So there are a lot of gardeners listening today, and it's still pretty early in the game as far as trying to get some herbs going. What kind of herbs are going? Have you got something going? Have you got a heating mat and a light all set up? Have you got something going in your house?
I don't this year. I usually do. Usually our bedroom is like a jungle by the time May rolls around. But this year I did not do that. I have just a few basil, rosemary, sage, lemongrass, a few things like that growing in my bedroom, but a lettuce, got a little bit of lettuce.
So your bedroom must be kind of sunny.
Yeah, not sunny enough. I have to use grow lights.
Well, what kinds of care and feeding do herbs need?
They're pretty easy. They're easier than a lot of our standard vegetables. A lot of herbs grow, more in the wild. So if decent soil, ample moisture, they're fine. They don't need as much work as a lot of things do.
We're talking with Kimberly Gierman. She's presenting at the Iron Range Earth Fest going on this weekend. She's presenting Backyard Herbs, Food and Medicine.
Kimberly, have you been part of the festival in the last 10 years?
Yeah, last year I presented, and then I think I've attended probably every year.
Something I read on the website makes me think that there were over 1,000 people that showed up last year. Does that sound right?
Could be. The presenters, they had us in, little rooms, and so I never saw everybody all at once, but it was good. In fact, I was asked to give my presentation more than once on Saturday, and I declined because I wanted to get in on some of the other stuff going on there.
Right. Well, what are you going to talk about during your presentation?
I am going to just talk about how I do things. It doesn't mean it's how other people should do things, but herbs are a part of our life every day, and I wanted to tell how we do that. And so we've had a rule in our house since our kids were little. May through October, we have to eat something that we harvested every day. It's like a fun game. What can we do today? And so we started with, we used to go to the Forest History Center, and they had wild edible classes, and we brought our kids, and so that's how our game started, is let's forage something every day, and then it just grew. So now we have, every day we have herbs in our tea, and our coffee is part herb mix, and then we have soups and salads almost every day.
And it's not May yet, right? You said May through October.
So yeah, May through October.
You're just getting ready.
I'm worried, but my lettuce is going to is going to make it, I think. We'll be eating our lettuce in May. But, yeah, usually I'm in better shape than I am this year. I think that might be true for everybody right now.
Yeah, it's just been a cold year. Tell us some herbs that have medicinal uses.
Oh, there's a lot of them.
Are there any that you grow?
Oh, yeah. I grow chamomile, comfrey, anise, hyssop, butterfly weed, catnip, lavender, elderberry, bee balm, rose, echinacea. And those, like, I plant some of those, but also just growing in yards. Ground ivy, plantain, jewelweed, stinging nettle, even dandelions. They're all medicinal. I'm drinking dandelion in my coffee right as we speak. Mm. Dandelion and chicory mixed with coffee just to cut down on the amount of caffeine I was drinking.
Huh. When you just mentioned you've got dandelion, do you take the bud and then dry it? Or how does that work exactly?
Well, you can use the young leaves in salads are really good. I know people do eat the flowers, and I don't. That's not one of my favorites. But one of my favorites is the root, dandelion root. You dry it, clean it real, really well, and then dry it, and then grind it and roast it, and then use it as a coffee substitute or additive.
And that's what you got. That's what you got going right now.
Yep, right now I'm doing that.
Fascinating. Are there some herbs that we should be careful about?
You should be careful about all of them if you're doing it medicinally. I don't recommend doing without training unless you can. There's a lot of topical herbs, you know, like chamomile. Very good for skin. And let's see, a ground ivy, like Creeping Charlie that everybody tries to get rid of. That is good for skin. So topically, I wouldn't be as cautious, but if you're taking something internally, you need to understand a little bit more about dosing. You know, it'd be like taking medicine without knowing the dose. Mm. And so that's why you need the training in order to actually use them more medicinally. But I do make lip balms and salves for my friends, and those I'm comfortable helping them do if they want to do. But I would never do anything that is internal with somebody who wasn't trained.
So the presentation that you give, are you going to be giving some ideas? Could you call it training for people consuming these?
Oh, I'm just going to mention what's possible. My training was a 1,700-hour program to become a master herbalist, and we don't have 1,700 hours on Saturday. So
or seconds, probably.
Yeah. So I'll mention them, and I'll gather up some of my samples. You know, I'll bring some of my lip balm and some of my salves. And I do make the tinctures, which are the internal medicines. You know, maybe I'll just show what that means, you know, what is a tincture. And then I broke it down into salads, you know, herbs I use for my salads, herbs I use for my soups and beverages, and then the medicinal. And I have pictures. A lot of these people don't know, and they're going to say, oh, I have that in my yard. I thought it was a weed.
Right.
I have neighbors that stop and look at my garden, and it's like, well, what is that really tall thing with the yellow flowers? I thought I saw that out in the woods. Well, yeah. It came here, and I let it stay.
Huh. Are you talking about mullein?
Yep.
I had a volunteer in my backyard, too, and I just so happy that it was there.
I know. I love it. I let every garden in my yard, I let one mullein stay.
Do you okay? So you're doing your presentation this weekend, but personally, like, I'm already kind of jazzed to start reading up on this a little bit, and I won't be able to drive to attend your presentation. Do you have some recommendations as far as resources that people could, you know, get their hands on and learn some more about how to use the herbs properly?
There are a lot of books. And I I read them all, and there's so I started doing this at the Mesabi Rains College. I made a garden, and my I use it now as like an outdoor learning area for my students. We actually do labs out there and have some lectures out there. And so I requested a lot of the books to be on hand at the library. And one of the one that really got me fired up for this type of a garden, because it was kind of like an eco-garden, and the thing that got me fired up was called Gaia's Garden. And that's kind of the standard for these permaculture-type gardens. But if you're just talking about herbs and how to use them, I started with just doing field guides, and I would find the plant, and then I would just go online and research it and then find the resource through that I wanted to look at deeper, because there's just so many.
Hmm. Do you, in that Gaia's Garden, do they give examples of, you know, how you might prepare them, as far as, I don't know how you do your tinctures, but...
There's a book called Medical Herbalism by David Hoffman that has how to prepare a lot of things.
Okay.
That's kind of the, almost like the, how to, if you're thinking it more of in terms of prescriptions medicinally, that was one of the books I really liked.
You mentioned the Mesabi Range College and your work there. Tell us more about the Eco Garden.
Okay. So it was just kind of funny how that all developed. I teach environmental science, and, you know, obviously I'm kind of a little bit into my gardens. And so I would bring food from my garden to class and just say, you know, I picked this morning and I want to share it with you so you can tell the difference between a store-bought carrot and a carrot picked fresh. And you know, I cut them and put them on plates and pass it around, and my students wouldn't eat them. And I didn't understand. And so I said, okay, I'm not mad at you or anything. You know, I want you to just be totally honest here. Why won't you eat my carrots? Well, they might be dirty. They're from the ground. I said, well, where do you think the carrots in the store came from? And they had never thought that they might come from the ground. And I was like, wow, I can't believe this. So we started planting a few things out in a little spot in the back of the college, and some of the students just loved it. It almost seemed like life-changing how they looked at things. And I thought, I need to do more of this. So I got permission to turn more into the garden, and my idea was, okay, I have no help. It's all me. And, well, no, and a couple of my friends and my husband and my family. But it's us. Mm-hmm. And we need to make this easy for us, because we're not around at the school all summer long. And so that's why I was reading the permaculture books. Permaculture is kind of a closed loop where the garden takes care of itself with no inputs from us. Well, there's a lot of importance in the design and how you do things. I just didn't have the resources for it, so I went more to the eco garden, which is the simplest term people would know is companion planting, how you like to plant things by each other that help each other. So eco garden is just that to the extreme. You're doing things to help build your own soil so you don't have to do the fertilizer, and you're planting things in ways so they don't need as much water and that they all help each other. So that's the why it's an eco garden, is just because we're not there to take care of it. And it's going decent. There's always more to do, of course. But now this class I'm teaching, it was brand new offering called Plants and Society. And I just have students out there. Everything is about plants. And it was pretty fun, pretty amazing, the work that they did when they got to kind of choose their own path in the garden.
Ah, sounds like you're really turning these students on to some good life skills.
Some of them, yep, the ones that want to. I hear back, I run into people, and they're like, hey, I bought a house, and I have a garden now. I always think about you when I plant my garden. And, you know, these are students from, like, 10, 15 years ago, so that kind of made me happy. I feel like at least there's a few more gardens in the world because of my class.
Absolutely. What are your plans for the eco garden this year?
This year, because I'm going to be able to offer that class again, I'm going to focus on the teaching aspect of it, and I'm going to just plant the things that my students will be able to use or consume in August and September. So many of the garden things are done earlier than that. So I'm just going to focus on this summer planting and doing things that will benefit August and September so the students can be excited about it. So more carrots. For sure, more carrots. That's the big one.
That's a great story. I've heard that same story about potatoes, and I don't remember from where, but...
That, like, somebody was apprehensive about.
Well, yeah, where did they come from? Well, they come from the ground.
Yeah. They think it's like a hidden gem, like with Brussels sprouts and how the Brussels sprouts are growing along the stem. That's just fascinating to them. That they're blown away by the Brussels sprouts being in the spot they are. I don't know why, but that's like always made a big impression on them.
Yeah. Well, if you didn't grow up with somebody gardening in your family or even a neighbor, you just aren't exposed to it, you know?
Right.
Well, there'll be a lot of exposure to a lot of ideas about sustainability at the 10th Annual Iron Range Earth Fest Celebration. If you want to know more, they've got a web page. If you just Google up Iron Range Earth Fest, and that'll find you a schedule, a nice poster, talks about all the differing offerings there. And Kimberly Gehrman is one of those presenters at the 10th Annual Iron Range Earth Fest. That's Friday and Saturday. You're on Saturday. Do you know what time, Kimberly?
11 o'clock.
Okay.
Sounds like one a person doesn't want to miss.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Kimberly. Have a great weekend and good luck with all your gardening this year.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks.
Happy Earth Day.